Then said I, O Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, You shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches into the soul. Now, it's a rare occasion when you would say, God, you deceived me. But as we talked about so often, the words even of your thoughts, God hears your heart, not your words. Do you understand? And when we say to God, I mean, when we say, I'm not at rest, I'm not at peace, I'm at this, I'm at that, but if as a believer you're saying to God, you have deceived me. Can you hear that a little bit? You saying you shall have peace, but as a practical matter, there's no peace. The sword is reaching into the soul. You feel cut. At that time it shall be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me, and now also will I give sentence unto them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles, and woe unto us, for we are spoiled. What he's saying here is we start the process thinking that we're a victim. And the wind starts from the high place, and all of a sudden we find out we're the perpetrator. You understand that? There's no greater deception than for you to be the perpetrator of a wound and believe that you're the victim. Because it makes what happens in that process, it makes repentance impossible, it makes fellowship impossible, it makes life impossible. And then he goes on. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mightest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and published affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country. In other words, it's going to be the heathen that's going to reveal the truth to you. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way, again in Hebrew it's much clearer, it says, thine own way and thine own doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth into thine heart. Let's go to Jeremiah 10. Let's see if, I never get this done. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you. Now, right now, you can't listen to this as history, or you'll be you have to hear this as if God had created this just for you for this moment. Can you understand that? Hear ye the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. that's a statement from the Talmud. The Talmud says that all the things that are transpiring around you are signs from heaven. Jesus indicated that when he talked about you learn to recognize the signs. Okay? Now, be not dismayed at the signs from heaven. Because in truth, if something external to you dismays you, then you practice augury. Can you hear that?
Dismayed.
If something external causes you to be dismayed, distressed, what that means is you're practicing augury, spiritual augury. You're cutting open a chicken and see which way the kidney's pointing, or you're looking for a sign to define your peace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the real problem is you can't do it just a little bit.
Yeah.
This will happen.
Do you understand a little bit what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If you're dismayed at the external things, at the signs from heaven, then you're practicing, you're not in prayer, you're practicing augury. Well, this fits, because this is the opposite of prayer. This is good, thank you.
Would that be a sign?
Everything's a sign from heaven.
Right, but if it dismays you, and if you're looking for your happiness based on the externals, then you're practicing not faith, but augury.
It's a bad sign.
What is it you're practicing when it's mental? When you do your mind dance and your mind causes you trouble? Sorcery?
Yeah. You go up to the high place and you whip up a little thing. Thus saith the Lord. Because anyway, again, the way you understand this is to know that if everybody else does it, you know you're wrong. I mean, if a Gentile would be dismayed or upset at the same thing you're dismayed or upset about, then you know you're wrong. If you're upset because you're too busy, because of this, because of that, you know you're wrong. Got it? Be not dismayed at the signs from heaven. Learn not the way of the heathen. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. One cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Now, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Must needs be born because they cannot go.
They carried
around. Because they can't walk.
Born as in
carried on the shoulders.
Yeah.
Like a head.
Now, why is the scripture full? Keep your finger there and go to Isaiah 57. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. Perisheth. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away for the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near here, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you vaunt yourselves? Against whom do you make a wide mouth? You know what that means? Complain. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom do you make a wide mouth? And against whom do you draw out the tongue? What does that mean? It means to use your tongue as a weapon. None of you would do that. Are you not children of transgression? Seed of falsehood? Well, this is a historical book. It's talking to the Jews. Right. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set up thy bed, and even there went up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also in the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou saw it. Thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers afar off, did abase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. I go back to Jeremiah 10. I want you to remember that the beginning of both of these had to do with trees. Look around. No, much worse. Look around on the face of the fertile earth, the arable earth. It's full of trees. Everywhere you go. Why? Why did God have all these trees up here?
The birds to sit on.
Right. Demons to sit on. And the trees, every one of them, represent the plans and the glory of men. Your ideas and plans and ways to solve things, fix things. I've got a plan for this, a plan for that. Some of you have, you know, like a large ponderosa pine forest up there. Why is Zion, the mountain of Zion, why is Zion, why is the place of revelation always the desert? Because there are no trees there. You're not encumbered. The trees haven't been watered by your judgment. You haven't been able to take this tree and mold it and shape it and cover it over with gold and silver to be your redemption or your glory. You're standing alone in the desert with no trees around you. And therein he shall grow up before you as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground shall he be revealed. But in the forest, man, you got your name of God on every one of those trees, and he ain't there. You understand? Next time you drive around, look at all the beautiful trees. Remember what they mean. Some of them are even evergreen. Man, it looks like we're going to just keep going. Until a dry wind tree of life is the cross. Unshapen, rough hewn. There's no form nor commonness. When you see it, there's no beauty that you should desire it. has no function, can't be used for a damn thing.
It's kind of neat because when Bible study first started, it felt like, you know, each one of us had like brought in a piece of the world, you know, and like right now it feels like, you know, like it's been cleared out.
Cut down the forest.
Yeah, and there's no pieces of anything. You know, and I start to wish that the world wasn't out there. It was just, you know, we could look back and it wouldn't be there. But, there's a part of me that knows that that has to be that way wherever I walk, you know, at work or in the grocery store or whatever. It's got to be there, too.
Amen.
You say in the morning meeting that the wood, the shit of wood
inside. Inside the ark. The shit of wood is really bad wood. It's the shittim tree is where the cross. I mean probably the cross came from, possibly, but it's for sure where the crown of thorns came from. It's got these huge. And a cousin of the shittim tree grows here. But can you hear this now? All of this, what all of this means is, in terms of tying it back to this time that we're in, the counting of the Omer. One way you could see it is to counting the trees as they're cut down. Now, some of you have to use like some higher math here because you got to like have like 10 to the second power is day one, and 10 to the fourth power is day two, and
7 squared.
Astro.
Especially like people in the oil business. I mean, there's a lot of trees up there. I mean, you understand?
You can't see the trees from the forest.
Oh yeah, trite old cliches. Cool. That'll
give another timeline. That'll really trite old cliches. I just love cliches.
That was good.
But back to the trees. I'm excited about understanding these trees. I hope you understand it. Look around. There's a lot of trees in Dallas. There's a lot of trees wherever society is.
It's so funny that this happened so recently. Remember the storm that happened a few days ago? And I went, rained like hell and left. Well, I called Steve and said, hey, let's go to White Rock. So we flew out to White Rock and parked on the opposite side of like Buckner and Mockingbird. So you're looking straight out over the lake toward downtown. Mm-hmm. And downtown disappeared for a while. And it was like there was no Dallas. And when downtown disappears behind rain, it is all trees. I mean, there was not even the phone building. And then it completely disappeared, faded out, and faded back in. It was really amazing, but it was literally as far as you could see trees.
Pretty nice
at the time.
I guess
you hadn't been there, huh?
No, trees.
Like, oh shit.
Trees. There's something peaceful. I mean, I love the forest. I love the trees. All men do. But what's fascinating to me is I love the desert better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like where did Adam run to?
Yeah, Adam ran to the trees.
And he took the leaves from the trees and covered himself. Yeah. It's all there.
Have I ever talked about this before, about what the trees are?
As a matter of fact, you've always talked about it. This is, it's weird to me. You've always said just the opposite, at least in my mind, you know, trees are this revelation, you know, because of the sea.
We never say trees are the revelation.
That's what I've heard. I mean,
no, except the parable is, except the kernel was the seed, the trees are the seed, and the pecan tree and the seed.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
You're talking about the pecan tree outside your office.
Yeah, that's great. I loved it. I love that parable. But that's one slice of picture. That's one picture.
Well, that's what I mean. I've never heard you talk about this.
Okay. Start again in verse 5. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be borne about because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good.
It's almost like word for word from one of the things that we read on one of the feasts or something when they went into Babylon or something. You're going to, when you go there, you're going to see idols. They're going to be carried about.
Yeah.
Sounds like the same thing.
For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. They are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities.
What is the stock?
The stock is anything that it comes from, like, it could be your father, or it could be the idol itself. It's whatever something comes from is the word that comes, that's the stock.
Source.
The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. That's another thing, you know, you don't want the Lord to visit you, you don't want the Lord's indignation. That's another thing that I don't want to know what it means to have the blood in my hands.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what it means to have the Lord's indignation. That doesn't sound very good.
You know, just in, I guess I'm sitting here, this is all going together, but you're doing battle with the mind wanting to take over the land again. And I'm sitting here asking myself, well, where's the resting place?
Wherever your feet touch.
But I know what that means somehow, but I don't know how to apply it. I don't know how to.
We're big at doing in our house.
Yeah.
We're doers.
No, but it's like, I know it's there, but I'm not there, and you know what I mean?
The only way you get there is repentance.
But I'm sitting here saying, you know, I'm saying that. I'm feeling that the sinful and all that, but it's not.
That's why
it's still kind of hanging loose.
Okay, know? Well, that's why the Psalms of Ascent were invented. 120 to 134. Whenever you ever feel out of the rest, you go to the Psalms of Ascent. Because if you're out of the rest, you're by definition, you're not in the promise. And you have to make the trek back up to the promise in your mind.
As long as we're saying, I can't take any more darkness, is that one of those?
Mm-hmm.
That comes into my mind last when that happens. I can't stand any more darkness.
It's the first time.
The smell of death on the wind. The only voices I hear cause the fear and the doubt to descend. Can't take any more darkness.
So let the journey begin.
The only way out is up to Jerusalem.
It must be my favorite song for a reason. It's used a lot.
All right.
It's the first time.
I lost indignation.
Indignation. End of 10.
Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He that hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there's no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like unto them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitants of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There's none to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors have become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the bruit is come. I don't know. Beast. The noise of the beast is come. Is that right?
It says voice here. So the bruit means went. No, the voice of the tidings?
No.
What's
beast.
It's
beast.
Yeah, it must be brute.
It doesn't.
22.
The noise of the rumor is coming.
No,
it's not. It's I remember looking that up before, but it's the. I suppose it could be the rumor, but it's the rumor that it's the rumor that proceeds from the beast in the Book of Revelation. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And this is my prayer. Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and have devoured him, and consumed him, and has made his habitations desolate. Go to Isaiah 40. Remember maybe we didn't study in here, but in when Noah was in the ark, and for all of that many days and years, months, the ark was being bounced all over the place, and it was. And the Talmud says just before that, he would have either gone mad or perished. It says, and the Lord remembered Noah. And the word remembered is a great word because it's a Hebrew word zakar, and it means to take the exact appropriate action at the exact appropriate time. And you've got to have that as your anchor. Otherwise you're going to go crazy. Because if you understand this doctrine that it says, you need lean not on your own number of understanding, you abandon yourself, you take no thought for tomorrow. If you don't know that the Lord remembers Crystal, or the Lord remembers Tylene, then when you will, every moment you'll be tempted to take it back.
And you can ask him to remember too.
Sure. You can sort of prod him a little bit.
Oh,
oh, God!
Here I am.
I'm reminding you. See that string on your finger?
Isaiah 40.
We're there.
Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
What does it mean when it says she hath received double for all her sin?
She has received double for all her sin because he, Christ, drank the cup of jealousy and died on the cross. The cup of jealousy was for the adultery, and the death on the cross was for the sin, for the separation. Okay?
Is it too complicated to explain how Christ drank the cup of jealousy?
It's very complicated.
Is it
but
a short answer?
Yeah, basically it was in the 3 days that he walked in hell.
Oh, wow.
Every, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places even or plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because of the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And surely this people is grass. See, they get mad at me for calling people sperm cells. They at least have a chance. This grass. Grasshoppers, worms. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young.
What does 5 mean? I mean, when are they talking about? And they all shall see.
Day of Pentecost. It's already happened. The seed of the Lord was shed on all flesh. Do you believe the gospel has been preached to all nations?
Oh, I don't know. That means no.
Okay, go to, just keep that thought. Oh, Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains. Oh, I just read that. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, as I just read that one too. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven into the span, or with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and count it as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn for a burnt offering, nor the beast thereof sufficient. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are accounted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him?
That's a good one. Trying to get an image of God, how God should be.
Or what God's stuff should look like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that.
Oh, that stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was that what we're talking about?
The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number, he calleth them all by names, for the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world. Which you have, verse 5, the second part, wherever you've heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world. You got that one?
And there's, it says that in another place.
No, it says it all over.
And bringeth forth.
Let's go, yeah, and bringeth forth fruit in all the world. Let's go over to just chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, made a minister.
So that's the world and every creature under heaven.
Huh?
That's the world and every creature under heaven.
It's like a whole bunch.
That would be.
That's that by like pretty everybody.
That would be every creature. That's like in and out of town.
Hmm?
Time.
Yeah,
think of
a couple
of
creatures. For a man,
maybe
he wanted
to. I'm not comparing myself to Paul, but nobody ever taught me.
Yeah. Nobody tried to save you?
Well, a lot of people tried to save me, and I'd say, save from what?
So it could be a little.
Let's go.
A slime ball like you.
Romans 10.
I don't like government.
This is the section of the scripture that all evangelicals begin there. I mean, everybody uses it. So if you've either been a Baptist or a Bible church, you've heard this, all right? How can they be, in verse 15, how shall they be, and how shall, 13, start in verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world.
So we just kind of veered off into something else here.
Yeah, well, she asked the question. I asked her a question. Do you believe that the gospel has been preached to all the world? And now I'm just...
And then you pushed her back over there. It'd be like so far, so three specific examples.
Saying yeah, it's exactly like that. Three witnesses so far. I mean, I could give some more. But do you understand that the reason that man doesn't want to believe that is because I can have righteousness and I can have the Great Commission. The Great Commission says that something is left to do. Now, I've probably spoken to more people about Christ in my lifetime on radio and television and all, than I mean, most preachers ever have. And I've probably, you know, in terms of led, in their language, I've led jillions of people to become believers. But the point is not to be saved. The point is to make disciples. You understand the difference? And the church thinks that there's a difference between being saved and being a disciple. I mean, they may not have the guts to say that, but by their actions and by their words, that's what they believe. I mean, I'm not going to go out and condemn the Baptists or anything. I mean, they've got to do what they got to do, but, and I'm, you know, that's fine. But we can only walk in the light that we have. Okay? I don't feel like talking anymore. Take it large, guy.